Good morning.
But that was awesome worship this morning that we had. I love that song, God's Great Dance Floor. And you know, when we went there that night to hear Chris Tomlin, he wrote that song. And he talked about God's Great Dance Floor and what it represented. You know, if you ever went to a dance, you don't go to a dance. You go there to dance. You don't walk out on the floor and just stand still, you know. So that, and the God's Great Dance Floor represents the world, the earth in which we sit up. So He hasn't made us here just to stand still. He made us here to dance. And it kind of goes into a purpose. When we go to a dance, our destiny is to dance. You know, it's to move. You know, we have a God that loves to party. I don't know if you guys recognize that. When we go to heaven, He has a great feast for us. And you know, He has a party for us. Jesus went to a wedding banquet. He went to a party at tax. They like to party. They like to party with us. They want to celebrate with us. But that earth where He puts us on, is His great dance floor. He wants us to move. He wants us not to stand still, but to do things. And that's our destiny. Our destiny is to dance, to do something here. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, that, you know, that everybody has a dream and everybody has a destiny from God. But a lot of us, what happens is we live with the dream and we don't live in the destiny. So, you know, I want you to ask yourself today, how do I travel from that dream that God gives us into our destiny? And what should I expect along the way? So, but along the way, what we have is 10 character tests. And these tests that we have to pass them to fulfill the destiny that God has in our lives. And, you know, the number 10 in the Bible, in some parts, it represents a test. Because Egypt had how many plagues? They had 10 plagues, and that was to test Pharaoh to get his people to let him go and worship into the wilderness. Also on Mount Sinai, Moses received what, the 10 commandments, right? So that was a test for us. And Jesus also, talking about his return, he gave a parable about the 10 virgins. That was a test for us to get ready. And we also, how many disciples do we have? Okay, that was a test. But God gives us a dream, and that's our calling. So also, God gives us a purpose, and that's our destiny. So we're going to look at the life of Joseph in the Bible, because God gave him a dream when he was 17 years old. Is anyone 17 here? Okay. he stepped into his destiny not until he was 30. Okay, so now we can see that Joseph didn't fulfill it at 30. He just stepped into it. Actually, he fulfilled his destiny many years later. So we can see that our destiny doesn't happen overnight. But to fulfill our destiny, we have to pass these 10 tests. And I know it may not excite you that we have to, I mean, who likes tests? But it's something that we have to pass, and they are 10 character tests. And the reason why a lot of people don't step into the destiny is because we haven't passed these tests yet. So we're going to talk in depth about these tests, but not all 10 today. We can arrange something later on, and we can get the 10 tests in. But for first test today will be the hardest one. It will be the most challenging, this one, and that will be the pride test. So right now, if you feel like you don't need this test, listen carefully, because that's a good sign right there. You know, in Proverbs 8:3, the Bible says that God hates pride, and that pride separates us from God. And God also calls it actually evil. So we're going to read a lot of scripture right now, and because I want you to understand, because I really want you guys to understand this story about Joseph in the beginning. So when you look in your notes, in Genesis 37:1, we'll start there, and it says, Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, remember now, I had mentioned he's 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and brought them, their father, a bad report about them. So you can see his brothers here, that was his half-brothers. And you can see before even Joseph, before Joseph gets a dream, he's a tattletale. So he brought a bad report to his father about his brothers. So now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word of him. Joseph had a dream. So remember, remember his brothers hated him. And I want you to remember this because in a moment here, we're going to read the dream and you're going to see what 17-year-olds do. And then he told it to his brothers. And then, and so he had a dream and he told it to his brothers and they hated him even more. So when we're going to read the dream here, you're going to see the wisdom behind him and the wisdom to tell this to your brothers that already hate you. So he said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field. Then suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. You know, that's just brilliant to tell older brothers that. It really is. But his brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of this dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he still didn't learn. He told it to his brothers, and I'm sure they're so excited about the second dream that he had. So he said, listen, he said, I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. Okay, remember, he's 17 now. That's what 17 years would do, probably. I can't remember when I was 17. So he said in verse 10, then he told this dream as well. Then he told his father as well as his brothers. His father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept this matter in mind. So he has a dream and he tells them. And remember what I said, he was 17 when he got this dream. So when we read in Genesis 41:46 in the notes, it says, Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out of the Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. So you can see here, he's 17 when he gets the dream. And when he's 30, he steps into his destiny. So what happens in between 17 and 30? These are the tests, the character tests in between that time. So I want to establish a point with you. And point number one says, and in your notes it says, God has a dream for you. He has a dream for you. And Joseph gets this dream, and this dream is from God. Joseph bragging about it isn't from God. See, both dreams were from God. And God's dream for our life is better than your dream, and his destiny is bigger than your destiny. And you know, I promise you this, because God is always bigger and better than us. And so, yeah, now, how can you know the dream that God has for you? Have you ever thought about what dream he has for your life? You know, how can you know God's dream that He has set before you? And here's a way right here. When you read in your notes, I got Numbers 12:6-8. This is God speaking, and He says, "When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I will reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly, and not in riddles." So if I can say this plainly to you, if you would like to know God's dream for your life, get to know God. Get to know the giver of the dream. Get to know him. Get to know the one that can reveal it to you and fulfill the destiny for you. You see, the Bible says that Israel knew God's acts. Israel knew his ways, his miracles, all the things that he did for them. But Moses knew his ways. So there was a big difference there. So if you want to know God's dream for your life, get to know God. And God will speak to us plainly and face to face as he spoke to Moses. You know, Jesus also said that he no longer calls us servants, but "I call you friends. For a servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but a friend does." So get to know God. So God has a dream for everybody. But listen carefully, we can also have selfish dreams. And those selfish dreams can cloud us from hearing God's dream. There are some dreams we need to just put them aside and just lay them down. So when we get that dream, what do we do when we get this dream from God? So that's point number two there. It says, don't brag about the dream. Don't brag about it. Because if you brag about the dream, you'll never get to the destiny that God has for your life. You know, some people, they brag about their calling that God has on their life. But you know what? You don't need to do that. You don't have to brag what God has given you. All you have to do is to be faithful in all God's house. Like we read in Numbers 12:7, it says, Moses was faithful in all his house. We just have to be faithful. We don't have to brag. But, you know, sometimes we brag and we brag and we brag. And in Genesis 37, what we read, it said his brothers hated him because of his dream and what he had said. Basically, it was his words. You see, and what he was doing, Joseph was doing, was bragging. So, in my opinion, Joseph failed the first test. He failed because of his bragging. But with God, we actually never fail a test. You know, God just makes us take it over and over and over again until we pass it. You know, that's what's so great about God. You know, he's so gracious. He gives us another opportunity. So if we ever fail a test with God, we can be assured that he'll let us try it again. You see, God never, on the top of the test paper, he never prints fail. He just prints retake. You're just going to have to retake it again. So we can see that you can't move forward to pass it. We have to stop. We have to stop what our bragging so that we can pass these tests. But you know, some people say, "But I do it all the time. You know, I can't help it." But you know, you gotta listen to this, because you know, the mystery of a Bible is about to come forth for you. So if you guys want to write this down, you know, get your pens and get ready for this, okay? So here it comes now. You guys ready? In order to stop bragging, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to stop talking. Okay? That stops bragging. Okay, the mystery is revealed. But because when you talk, and if your mouth is moving, sometimes all we're doing is bragging, you know. And I'm saying to you this because, you know, you're not going to fulfill your destiny. And, you know, while others are fulfilling their destiny around you, you're not, because of this simple reason. And and we need to pass this test. So you might say, well, why do we brag? You know, have you ever thought about why we brag? Because pride is in our hearts. So let's read what Matthew 12:34 says. It says, you board of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So sometimes you can tell what's in a person's heart. All you have to do is listen for a little while, and you'll hear what comes out of a person's mouth. You see, I may not know everything that's in your heart, but the reason why we brag is because pride is there. We have to deal with the heart. It's clear if someone is in, pride is in the heart, it's going to come out. It's going to come out. You'll see, pride always needs to have a voice. Pride always needs to be heard. Pride always wants to give an opinion. And here's one that I dealt with, that I had a problem with. Pride always interrupts people. Oh, it got quiet in here. But, I mean, do we have this problem? Because it's pride. You know, it's... if your opinion is more important than hearing someone speak and you have to interrupt them, you know, it's like people are halfway through their conversation or whatever they're saying, and you gotta come in, you gotta interrupt, and you gotta have your say. That's pride. So when we look at it, now Joseph brought a bad report about his brothers to his father. Before he gets his dream, he's already a tattletale. He's telling on him. You see, Joseph had a problem with his mouth. And remember, if we have a problem with our mouth, we have a problem with our heart. And he's already got it. But you know what? God still gives him a dream. Now listen, that dream that Joseph got is not his destiny. His purpose on earth was not to have his brothers bow down to him. His purpose in life was to save a multitude of people. His purpose was to be second in command in all Egypt, to store up grain that during a 7-year famine, hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of people of their lives could be saved. And that was his purpose. His purpose was even to save his brothers and his father's family that became the 12 tribes of Israel. So you ask, well, why didn't God just give him a dream about saving the multitudes? Why didn't Joseph just say, hey, you know what, I had a dream that one day I would be a good servant, a steward of what God's given me, and that I would help people one day. But there's a couple of reasons why God might have done this, you know. And first of all, it doesn't motivate us when we're young. It doesn't motivate us to help people, because we're still immature in the Lord. It doesn't motivate us. What motivates us when we're young is to be well known and to have power and to be successful. You know, but listen, you know, brothers and sisters, we can get so mixed up with this. Yes, we have a dream about being great, but being great is not God's purpose for our life. You helping a lot of people, that's God's purpose. As we mature in the Lord, yes, God may give us great influence one day, but that influence is for His purpose and not ours. When maturity starts to happen in our lives, when we mature, it'll start maturing in our lives when we notice our destiny. So, is it possible that God gave his dream to Joseph because helping a lot of people would not motivate him? Second, God may have given him this dream because his dream would reveal what was in his heart. Is it possible God had given you a dream to see what is in your heart, to see the things in your life so that you can fulfill your destiny that he has for you? So, the thing that I want you to understand is the dream from God is not the same as the destiny. The dream is what starts us on the path of maturity so that we can handle our destiny. So if you can't handle the dream, you can't handle the destiny. If you can't be humble with the dream, you'll never get to the destiny, because the destiny will destroy you. And you know, God knows that. He knows that if you don't handle that dream, you don't go through the test, your destiny will destroy you. So He gives you the dream to reveal the pride and bring it to the surface. You know, it's like a pot of gold. You know, when you put a fire underneath it and a draw comes to the top and you scrape it off. You see, God gives you a dream, and a big dream, and a good dream, to get some stuff out of you. So He can make you pure enough to handle the destiny that He has for you. And you know, you look in the Bible, a lot of stories with the Pharisees, and you know, what they did. You know, it was pride that plotted to kill Jesus, to put Him, you see, because they couldn't handle that. They couldn't handle that. Pride is like what God said, it's a very evil thing. And if we don't take care of the things in our heart, that pride that we have, those kind of things can happen. So if you are going to move from your dream to your destiny, you have to believe that God has a dream for you. And when we get to that dream, don't brag about it. So point number three is deal with the root of pride. So now we're going to have participation time here, okay? I'm going to ask you a question, and so you guys can raise your hands. At some time in your life, have you ever dealt with pride? Just raise your hand. Okay. And now, next question is, have you ever dealt with pride more than once? Okay. All right. Good. You know why? There's a couple of reasons why. The first, many of us deal with the fruit and not the root. Many of us see pride and we say, well, you know, I just really made this prideful statement. But you know what? I just had to say it. I just had to get it out of me. So next time, I'm not going to talk as much, you know. But guess what? Pride is still there. It's still there. You only took care of the fruit, the outside of it. You didn't take care of the root. So we have to do something about the root. So what is the root of pride? The root of pride is insecurity. Pride in your heart. Pride is in your heart, and insecurity is in your soul. That's why we need the healing power of our soul. Our soul needs to be healed. We need God's word. We need prayer. We need the right relationship with Jesus. Another reason is, and why we continue to deal with this type of pride, is with every new challenge, with every new responsibility, comes new insecurities. You know, you may be doing great. You may be doing fine. You may be walking with God, seeking with God. You're in a good position. Then all of a sudden, you're put into something new. Right, Pastor Ben? Maybe a new leadership assignment, whatever it is. And, you know, a lot of times we say, you know what, we can't do this. I don't know what I'm doing. You know what, it's not me. But you know what, that's a prideful statement there in itself. Because what it's saying is, God has put in you, has put you in this. And you're telling God, basically, I know more about myself than you do. But here's the problem. As time goes on, we become confident in ourselves. And you have not dealt with the security in your soul. I mean, have you prayed about that insecurity? Have you asked Jesus to help you during this time of, oh no? Or do we do it alone? Do we put on a cover? You know, in the next few months, you know, you'll say, hey, you know what? This ain't so bad. I can do this. You get confident. And you say, you know what? Bring on 10 more ministries. I can do this. You know, I'm good at this. But guess what? The root is still there. And so we will use pride to cover up that insecurity. We use pride to defend our weakness, our weaknesses. We become more aware of defending ourselves and less dependent on Jesus. You know, I had a situation at work, this lady that I'd like to share with you. You know, one day I had a disagreement with one of my coworkers, and you know, it got kind of heated, and you know, I just you know, we got, and then the next day my coworker said, "Oh, you know what, Carl, I gotta talk to you." And I said, "Yeah, what's up? What's going on?" He goes, "You know what you did yesterday? It was wrong." And you know, I just had this you know, real heavy heart, like the Holy Spirit was just on me, and I just felt like, and I just said, "You know what, you're right. You know, God, this guy that told me wasn't even a Christian, but I knew that God was using him." And he said, "You know what, because he didn't beat around the bush, and neither does the Holy Spirit." You know, and he's like, "You know what you did yesterday was wrong." And I said, "You know what, you're right. It was wrong what I did." And I felt the Holy Spirit was so heavy on me. I even felt bad saying that, like I was trying to justify myself. But you know what? I didn't justify myself. But what I did was, I said, by saying, "You know what, you're right. I was wrong." I just took care of the fruit. And I was trying to tell myself, you know, what is the root of this? What caused this? And what I found out was the root was, it was about me and my pride. Because that night, you know, I even feel like I'm trying to justify myself right now, but I'm just trying to give you the what happened is, you know, it was a Wednesday night. I wanted to make it to study then, but all of a sudden we got a barge that night. And it was like a surprise attack, you know. And I went there trying to tell her, you know, "You guys shouldn't do this. We get plans," and you know what I mean, and all this. And I was trying to change the situation. My pride was taking over and trying to control it. Instead of letting God take care of this and trusting in Him and hoping that He was, you see, my pride separated me from having God do anything good out of it. You know, maybe something, maybe He wanted to show me something that night, you know, by not going to the Wednesday night service. Maybe He wanted to maybe have something, you know, the barge cancel later on in the night where I could say, "Oh, praise you, God. Thank you for getting me to the study." But by me, with my pride, going in there and arguing, I tried to take control of the situation. God, and when you do that, God just backs up. He backs away from pride. He doesn't want nothing to do with your pride. You see, and I didn't let God be God. I didn't trust in Him at that moment. And I couldn't have like a hallelujah night, you know, where I could see Him work and trust in Him. Because I later on I thought, you know, I missed the opportunity right here to see what God could have done because of my pride. But I'm going to read a scripture here in Luke 18. And it's a parable that Jesus gives. And it's about a Pharisee. And I just want you to just hear these words. And it's in Luke 18, 9-14. And it says, "To some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and another a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and he prayed about himself. 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector right here. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at the distance. He would not even look up, to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And this is Jesus saying, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. There's another example here, and remember what Satan said to Jesus when he came to tempt him? Let's read in Matthew 4:3. And it says, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. To me, this is amazing. You see how awesome is that? Do you guys see this? Do you think Satan didn't know he was the Son of God? He knew. He knew who he was. But notice what Jesus did. Do you notice what he did? Jesus didn't say, I am too the Son of God. Or not, I am so. He didn't have to defend himself. Jesus knew who he was. He knew he was the Son of God and that his Father loved him. He didn't have to defend himself. He knew who he was, but Satan tried to see if he had pride in him. See, this is here, right here, how we deal with insecurities in all things, in all things. We need to come to a place where we know that we are children of a great God and that he loves us. Because it's not by works, but by his grace that we are saved. That's how we deal with insecurity. You let him take care of it. You don't have to defend yourself. Let God be God. Let him go up and bat for you. When you see the time with Pontius Pilate, and Jesus didn't say nothing. And what did it say? Pontius Pilate was amazed that he could just say that. But you know what? Jesus said, you know what? All that you say, it's not you. It's my Father's will. He knew. He had confidence in knowing that God, this is my Father's will. And Jesus didn't have to defend himself. He knew he was right. Jesus could have said, you know what? These guys are liars. You know what? This is all wrong what you guys are doing. Pilate would have seen it. And you would have let him go, but was that his Father's will? You see, Jesus stood there and didn't say nothing because God will defend you. God will go up to bat for you. He's going to take care of you. So isn't it great to know that we are children of a great King, that we are loved, and that is how we deal with pride? This is one of the most difficult tests, and like I said, we were sharing with Brother Ray yesterday. We have to deal with this every day. And it's true, we do. We do. And we have to bring that pride before God and let him take care of it. Let him take care of us. Because pride can cause bitterness in us. It can cause a lot of bad things in us. And just like in Exodus here, the people were complaining. Oh God, you brought us out of here to die. This water, we can't even drink it. It's bitter. What are we going to do? We might as well go back to Israel, where at least we could eat, where we could drink and have everything good. That was pride. They thought they knew better for themselves than what God had done. But, God told Moses to throw a tree in the water. And I don't know what the tree represents, but I have Mealy on that task to take care of that. But I have a feeling the tree represents Christ. But it's so funny because in the next couple of verses, it talks about God talking about disease. And I think there's a close correlation here that when we're bitter, when we're angry inside, that these bring diseases up in us. So we got to get rid of it. We got to let that pride go. We got to put it down. We got to trust in God and know that you don't have to defend yourselves when things arise. You don't have to give pride that voice. You don't have to give it the attention that it needs. Put it away. Let God deal with it. Let God, you know, it's a God moment also for these other people as well as you. That's how great it is. That's how awesome it is. But, you know, we don't face it just once. We have to face this many times. But the way we deal with pride is to get it in the presence of Jesus and allow him to do the work in our hearts. And when God does the work in our hearts, we'll be able to pass this test. And then we can move from our dream, which will make mature out of us to our destiny. Thank you.
Whoa. All right, thanks, brother, for that message. You know, I got to tell you, whenever we hear a message like this, you know, sometimes when I talk about things that involve character, I mean, I have people come up to me and say, "How dare you, Pastor? You're insulting me. You're attacking my character." And, you know, usually the answer I give them is, "You don't understand. This message was also for me." And when I say that, it kind of like, the person kind of be quiet after that, you know, but seriously, this is the word of God that we need, and we got to speak it in a way that will help us to truly transform us into what God wants us to become. And we know He wants us to become like Jesus Christ. So we got to receive the word, and if it kind of hurts, good. Because a lot of times when I hear messages, I go, ouch, ooh, ah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to do better, Lord. And that should be our attitude. Don't take it as condemnation. If it's the word of God, it's conviction that you should be receiving. Amen? Amen. They'll convict you so that you will say, "Lord, I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to do good for you." And that's what it takes for all of us to really have that desire to become like Jesus Christ. You know, I got to share with you, you know, some of the things I went through in my own life that I had to deal with pride too. I remember when I was in college, man, I came home and I remember it was my summer break and my mom said, "Oh, Dan, I got this interview with you, with my supervisor. I think you can get a job, you know, and working at my place." And I go, "Oh, great, Mom." And so I went to talk to her supervisor at the hotel. She was working at the hotel. And I remember, I'm thinking, "Hey, I'm a college student." And I remember my mom said, "You know, I'm not sure what position they're going to offer you, but, you know, they have housekeeping, you know, jobs, and, you know, they might have office jobs, but we don't know, you know, what exactly they're going to offer you." I remember I went in there, and I just started talking to the supervisor, and I said, "Oh, yeah, and by the way, I know you have some housekeeping jobs, but you know what? I really want an office job." Man, I remember he just kind of looked at me and he said, okay, you know what, we'll call you if a position opens up." Well, let me ask you, do you think they call me back?
No.
Absolutely not. I waited and waited and I said, "Mom, what happened?" And my mom said, "I don't know, what did you say to them?" And I go, "I don't know." But I look back on that angle and I realize, man, pride, when it settles in, it can destroy the purpose and plans that God has for your life. You see that? If I just went in there and said, "Whatever you have, I'd be more than happy to take it." Man, I tell you, I probably would have gotten some kind of position. But that's the whole thing. With pride, man, it can really mess you up. I mean, it can mess up your relationships. It can mess up your future. That's why the Bible clearly tells us we are to put on the humility of Christ. Just think about how humble our Lord Jesus Christ is. He was willing to suffer and die for us. Yet He was so innocent, He was slain. And we think about that and we realize, "Oh, thank you, Lord, for your great sacrifice. Help me to be humble like you." And that's what it takes, brothers and sisters, for us to come to that point of humility, realizing, you know, I don't have to be all that. I don't need people to applaud me. I don't need people to say, "Yeah, look at Ben. Oh, yeah, let's give him a round of applause and just praise him." No, I don't want any of that. I just want all the praise to be directed to our Father God, because He deserves it all. I can't do anything without God. I have to tell you, it's Him, His power in me that I can do great and mighty things.
Amen.
And if you can remember that, oh, you're going to go so far in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts before our Father God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you. I thank you, Lord, for the message my brother Carl has spoken today. I can just see how much confidence you have given this brother of mine in preaching the word. What an awesome word that he has given us today. I know this word is from you. He just listened to your voice and he spoke it. And we thank you, Lord, knowing that your words will help us to become more like Jesus. Father God, I ask you now, Lord, if any of us here is dealing with pride, we may have seen pride, the spirit of pride come into our lives, and truly it has destroyed many of our relationships. Oh, it might have stopped the very blessings you wanted to bring forth in our lives. The plans, Lord, that you may have had were halted because of pride. I just pray right now, will you just let your Holy Spirit just speak to every one of us here? And if truly pride has done its destruction, Father, we know you can reverse that. As we let the humility of Christ enter into our minds, into our hearts, into our souls, Father, we know your blessings will come forth. The miracles of heaven will be displayed as we truly take on the humility of Christ in our lives. With all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, Pastor Ben, I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, and I know I gotta let the pride just totally go in my life. I gotta give it to God, and I'm gonna say, Lord, let your humility come in. If this is you, you're saying, I'm letting go of my pride, I'm giving it to God, then you just raise your hand and say, that's me, so I can pray for you. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Just keep your hands up. Say, Lord, that's me. That's my heart. I want to surrender it to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. Okay, can you put your hands down? Let's pray. Father in heaven, you've seen all the hands. Most important is the hearts behind those hands. I know, Father, as you're listening, Lord, to our prayers, Lord, from within ourselves. If we're saying, we're letting it go, Father, help me to no longer hold on to this pride, because I can see the destruction it has brought forth in my life. Father, will you just come and just take it right now? This spirit of pride, you must go in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, as we have surrendered to you, I pray right now you just replace that with the humility of Christ. Let the humility just settle right into our souls. And as we are humbled before our Father God, oh, we're going to see how from this day forward our relationships will be blessed. The plans you have for us will come to fruition, because we say, Lord, our lives truly belong to you. Father, have your way in our lives, because we need you. We praise you. We don't choose to do it our way anymore. It's all you. It's your way. We praise you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I heard people talking about having a relationship with God, with His Son, Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you can start by praying a simple prayer, but it must come from deep within your heart. And if you know the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, you feel this almost like a strange sensation. It's happening somewhere in your body where you know it's the Lord just tugging at your heart, saying, come and receive the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God Almighty, your Father God, who awaits your decision. This is something that is very real. Because He loves you, He's going to draw you to Himself as you make a decision to say, yes, Lord, I want to receive you. And if this is your heart, know the Bible says, if you deny Him, He will deny you. But if you receive Him today, He will welcome you into His family, the family of believers, a family which he calls his children. And if you are ready, you're saying yes to Jesus Christ with your whole heart, can you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. Yes, Jesus, I receive you with my whole heart. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Just raise your hand. Say, that's me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. Why don't we pray this prayer? Just pray it out loud. And if you already are a believer, just pray this prayer, because it's a profession of what we believe about our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have made a decision for Christ today, well, please pray this prayer from deep within your soul. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God, I need you. And I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again. And he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God, so that everyone can hear me, so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord.
Jesus Christ is my Lord.
I live for him. And
I live for him
only. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone says,
Amen. Yeah.